Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I thought all of his Rockin' the Suburb friends were nerdy, but it turned out that was not the case.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Patrick Foster, and on behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to our show. It is Friday, as you're listening to this, and only about a week or so, and we'll get the exact details, since the end of the 2024 Bourbon and Beyond Festival. And unlike last year, where I screwed up and the tape languished for many months, we put it out as a special Christmas gift to you. We're actually bringing this one to you in timely fashion. So that sound you hear is me patting myself on the back. What I'm really doing is patting Keith on the back, Keith Jacobson, for getting this all organized, and I greatly appreciate that. So on the panel today with me, I've always wanted to say that, we'll go around the room and introduce ourselves. First of all, Keith Jacobson, how are you?
Yes, hello, Patrick. Nice to see you. Thanks for having
you
us.
You too. Yeah. And you have your lovely wife with you.
Yep, my lovely wife, Mary.
Hello.
Hello, Mary. Thanks for being on the show. This is the first time we've had her, which is exciting. Adam Coop, right there in his austere record room. How are you doing, Coop?
Doing good. How are you, Patrick?
I'm very well. Thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate it, as always. Over there, we see Dr. Bob Peterson, who, as we are recording this, is watching the Milwaukee Brewers in the first game of the playoffs. So if you hear any cursing or punching of the air.
He got very upset just a second ago.
I saw it.
Things are going well.
Other than what just happened, Bob, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm going to mute the microphone so I can swear.
No problem. And last but of course not least, it's Billy McNeil. Billy, how are you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Anytime you want to be on the show, we'd love to have you. Coop and Billy, of course, constitute part of the Louisville crew. And they all came to Coop and Billy's town to spend a few days at Bourbon and Beyond recently. And Keith, why don't you kick us off and just kind of give us an overview of what happened. It was 4 days, you guys, or you were there anyway, right? And
it is 4 days. Yes, it was 4 days. This is my third time going to Bourbon and Beyond.
Okay.
This is the first time that I've made it all 4 days. So the first 2 years I went, I tapped out on Sunday. Whether the first year I was just exhausted or the second year I had to leave for work. So This is the first year. So I feel like I, you know, as you patted yourself on the back, I'm patting myself on the back for making it all 4 days. So I'm going to tell you, too, that I bought my pass before the lineup was announced this year.
Oh, okay.
I just had the I knew that it would be an outstanding lineup. Based on the past, and I was not wrong in doing that. And the lineup was so good that my lovely wife Mary and my daughter Elena decided they wanted to go on Saturday and Sunday. So they drove down to Louisville from Grand Rapids and joined us for Saturday and Sunday. So
wow, fabulous.
Yeah.
And Mary, was this your first time visiting Bourbon and Beyond?
Yes, it was. Keith was very concerned that I was not going to like it and that I wouldn't come back, but I liked it.
Oh, that's great.
I was, she doesn't have quite the concert bug that I have. So she doesn't like to go to as many shows as I like. And I've come to learn that through the years. And so a lot of times I'm okay. I don't even ask her to go to a show. I just will go. And, but this really was my daughter was the driver of it because she's a big fan of the headliners from Saturday and Sunday night. So Saturday was Zach Bryan. Sunday was Tyler Childers. So my daughter was really the driver, but so I think Mary figured out, you know, there's two against one. And so she gave in and I, like I said, pleasantly surprised, had a good time. I was ready for like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
Who are these friends that you're hanging out with? Like, you know, I can't believe you spend all this time with them. And And so all my predictions did not come to fruition, luckily. So
that's great. Yeah, that's exciting.
You had a good time there.
Not many people have the concert bug that you have, Keith.
I've been on a run, Patrick.
Very true.
I'll be quite honest. I thought all of his Rock in the Suburb friends were nerdy, but it turned out that was not the case.
Wow. Except for Coop. So
yeah,
no, Nicole Coop.
Well, that's right, Nicole.
I'm Nicole.
Hear you.
See, she's there. She's just not on screen. She's that's a right. on yeah. screen. So.
Mary, I would like to say thanks for letting us borrow Keith for concerts here in Louisville.
You can borrow him anytime.
Yeah. As you all are listening to this on Friday, we'll be on our way back to Louisville, Mary and I. So we're gonna catch the Violent Femmes Adam, Nicole, and Billy. So
fantastic.
Just so happens my son is running a cross country race on Saturday morning there. So worked out that way.
Absolutely.
Yes. I guess do we want to start off with Thursday and how that lineup? I don't want to be the one to dominate the discussion here, but I'm pretty sure we're all in consensus that the best act of the weekend was on that Thursday night, and that was Beck.
Oh wow, okay.
No question.
Did he headline the Thursday night slot?
No, he
wasn't even the headliner. Wow, that's great.
It was supposed to be Neil Young was supposed to be the headliner, and then he got ill, so Sting was the headliner. So Beck was he was before the headliner. So
what made that so memorable?
Well, number one, he had probably one of the best audio performances I've seen at a concert, just with his lighting and the backdrops were cool. You never had a spotlight on any performer. They were always kind of in the shadows, so it kind of had a cool vibe. But his song list was great. I mean, it was all his bangers. They were well performed. Just to backtrack, you know, that was the first time I saw Beck. I saw him open for Neil Young at the Horde Festival in 97. So when I saw both those acts on there, that was the thing that sold me on Bourbon, to be honest. I was like, if nothing else, I just want to see those two acts. And, you know, anything on top of that is gravy. But Beck did not disappoint.
Also, he had Jason Faulkner on guitar.
That's very cool.
Jason Faulkner actually had the cameraman tricked as they were coming out. The cameraman actually thought it was Beck. They sort of trained it on him. And then I think they realized that's not Beck.
When did you guys get started on Thursday? Was it a thing where you got down there, most of you guys, and just started early? Or was it kind of drifting in at different times during Thursday?
I got there late. Yeah.
Yeah, but the Bob and I, we got there not first thing, but we were there pretty early afternoon and started the day off with KT Tunstall.
Oh, nice. Okay. Now, listeners to our podcast may know of Billy McNeil and his employment where he works and also is able somehow in sort of a superhuman way to attend every night of Suburbs Fest and Bourbon and Beyond and get up and go to work the next morning and look immaculate at 8 a.m. when he's walking in with his tie. Was this the case this weekend, Billy? Did you work?
I had a little bit more liberty on the weekend this year. So you're right. Years past, I've worked in early morning until, you know, mid-afternoon and then ran over to the festival, closed it down and just did it one after another. But as they say, I'm getting a little too old for that. So this year, Saturday and Sunday, I was completely off. And then I was out early on Friday. So, yeah, it worked out. Got there at a decent time this year.
Yeah, that's great. You were taking it easy, man. Not working your regular 40 hours.
We did find him sleeping by a couch at one point, though.
He did take a nap. Yeah.
So
you got a power nap whenever you can.
Nap in.
And Billy, and I'll certainly let Coop speak to this too. As a Louisville native, I mean, this festival has gotten to the point where it's just incredible, right? Did you ever think it would get this big?
Honestly, I think you were there the first year, and I talked to you about it. Maybe it's 2019, and so we had a dueling festival called Forecastle that was like a homegrown festival on the waterfront. Right. And before COVID hit, that was, you know, the big namesake as far as festivals in the area was concerned. And then the new guy came in, Danny Wimmer, and he was doing the Trifecta Festival, and he was trying to do a country weekend and then kind of a classic rock, art rock weekend, and then do a heavy metal festival back to back to back. And it was kind of like, okay, well, we'll entertain it while we can. And I didn't think it would have a footprint as it does today. But I was telling Coop, I said, it's, you know, it's in the ethos now. I heard a podcast where, you know, somebody was talking about, you know, upcoming festivals this year. You know, we got Bonnaroo, we have, you know, Coachella, and, you know, Bourbon and Beyond. And it just rolled off his tongue like it was just part of the nomenclature. I'm like, oh, there you go. Well. And that was on the West Coast too, so it's making a pretty big impact across the country. Absolutely.
Coop, are you surprised that it's grown in the size that it has?
Well, I would say yes, but yeah, on the back of what Billy said, the popularity of Forecastle just showed that we can sustain large festivals here.
Yep.
And I mean, Billy, you could probably speak to it more from a hospitality standpoint, but. But it seems like we have good accommodations for people when they come in, and we have a couple great spots for some live music that we can they set up. And actually, what kind of and also what Billy was talking about is the back to back festivals. So they set everything up for Bourbon and Beyond, and then after Bourbon and Beyond, the next weekend is Louder Than Life, which is a 4-day metal festival. Right. So. He's able to save some money by setting up one time for two festivals.
Let's go back to Thursday. Coop, what were your impressions other than Beck being amazing? How was there anything else that stuck out to you?
Yeah, there were a couple that stuck out to me. One was Arlo Parks. She's an artist that I like. She played early in the day. Kind of jazzy, hip-hoppy. It's really, she's a really good listen. So I'm glad I got to see her. Another one that Keith was pleasantly surprised by as well was Matchbox 20.
Thanks, Coop. Admittedly, I sort of mocked them on the lineup when they were there. Like, you can find me in the back stages. Actually, we should talk about that. But you can find me in the back stages during that. But we got in a position for Beck so that we were in a good spot for that. So we were watching Matchbox 20 on the other stage. And admittedly, I knew every song of theirs.
Oh, did you?
I sang along to every song of theirs. So
that's funny.
Yeah, Rob Thomas, his voice was really good, and he put on a good performance. I'm totally indifferent to Matchbox 20. I think they're bland, but he made very bland music very enjoyable. So it was great.
I did put a request out to Frank Muffin to learn some Matchbox 20 songs for. Live band karaoke at Suburbs Fest 2025 in Grand Rapids, here, right here.
Apparently, everyone will know the songs, which is great. Fastball wasn't on the bill anywhere during the 4 days, right?
Fastball
yeah,
was
yeah.
Not.
You got to realize, though, we were singing along to the choruses, but we didn't know the verses. So we were just like, baby, 3 a.m. and I must be joking. Wang Chang, Wang Chang, Wang Chang. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Hey, one thing I should mention about the setup of this year's Bourbon and Beyond was in years past, they just had the two main stages and then a small stage, bluegrass stage in the bourbon tent. So this year they added two stages in the back.
Okay.
So this was the first year that I've been that conflicts came into play. So, you know, there were some tough Sophie's choices, which in the past wasn't really a thing because you could just bounce between the two main stages. And, you know, there might be somebody on the bourbon stage or the bluegrass stage that you want to catch. But so this is the first year for that. There were some complaint. There's a lot of complaining on the Bourbon and Beyond Facebook group. Now, I'm going to say none of us are really in that that complaining like that. But there was some complaining about bleed through of some of the sound from the stages to one another. You could hear it a little bit, but nothing that was bothersome. So
got it.
It's very easy to navigate between the stages there. So that, you know, that part was good, and it did. They have more bands. I mean, so you. I mean, the lineup. That just made it that much better. And unfortunately, just couldn't see everybody. So
yeah. How were the Fleet Foxes? I noticed that they were on the bill for Thursday.
They were great.
Were they?
Really liked them. Never seen them live, but always have liked them. So that I was.
Yeah, they were really tight. Their harmonies were really good. Great performance.
Their drummer, the looks of their drummer has gone downhill from their original or the drummer from their second album. So you might know him as Father John Misty. Stillman, yeah. The new drummer, Father John Misty's a handsome man, so can't keep up with that. But no, they were really good. So
yeah, this drummer looked like a chemistry professor.
That's true.
I better not say that. My best friend is a chemistry professor. He's actually good looking, but what you would expect for a chemistry professor.
Now, did any of you guys spend time the first day wandering around the other stages, catching the smaller acts?
I did. I saw Amanda Shire. She played on one of the back stages, and she was she's great. She's always been sassy, but I think since her split with Jason Isbell, she's gotten a little bit little sassier, I guess.
Okay.
She got an edge. She got a little bit of an edge to her, but she was great. Short set though. You know, I think it was maybe 30 minutes. So, and she was the late add to the schedule. The Jade Bird, I think, was originally supposed to play in that spot.
Oh, okay.
I got in just in time for the Wallflowers. They were on the main stage, nice. But I cut the last two songs. And Jacob's pipes aren't as good as they his dad's, I guess you would say.
And that's a pretty low bar.
he sounds a lot like his dad now.
Oh, does he really? Okay. Does anyone want to speak of Sting?
Yeah, I want to look like him when I'm 32. Keith got really close. I sat in the tent. You know, we were in the VIP section, so you could actually get a little bit further back from the stage and sit down. And I sat in there with Coop and Billy, and I thought he had a trio, or half the set was Police songs, and then half the set was solo stuff. And they were really good. I got to say, his voice is really good. He might not be able to sustain a lot of the high notes, but he's such a good vocalist. He can sing around it just fine. And, yeah, real crowd pleaser from my perspective. What did you think being up close, Keith?
No, first of all, I thought he looked fabulous, like you said, Bob. He's, I think, 72 years old. So I think someone looked that up, and he looked great at 72. I hope I look that good then. I don't look at it right now at 51. So, I did like his set that he leaned in heavy on Police.
That's cool that he did that. Yeah.
And he leaned in on some of the earlier, you know, solo works. He played some of his later stuff. I don't think he played anything from that album with Shaggy. I'm not sad about and I did feel like I wanted to buy a Lexus when he played Desert Rose. You remember that song was the one they always played in the Lexus commercials?
So. Unfortunately, I do.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I really wanted to see Neil Young. I've never seen Neil Young.
Is that right?
I was really bummed. You know, when that happened, and Sting is fine and I enjoyed him, but I much would have rather have seen Neil Young.
All right. Well, let's look at Friday then, as everybody got a wonderful night's rest in the lovely Galt House Hotel right there on the banks of the Ohio River.
Oh, can I tell you about the Galt House Hotel? Thank you, Billy McNeil, for the accommodation. So I did get a text from him a few days, the day before.
Yeah,
this video. He sent me a video of my room, and he's like, "Is this okay for you?" So I didn't know this, Patrick, but in the Galt House, you can own a residence, or you can rent a residence, so you can live at the Galt House monthly.
And, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have about, what? How many, Billy? 70-something?
71 residences.
Yes.
Wow. And
yes.
We were fully compressed, and I needed to fill one of them. And I was like, you know, I got the Jacobsons coming in. Let me send them a video and see how you would like it, and I'll let you take over from there.
Well, it's just, it was, I mean, it was a gigantic, call it basically an apartment. I mean, it had two bedrooms, but it also had three rooms in there that were not furnished. So just do whatever in there. So, and large living room area, dining room, full kitchen.
Wow.
There was laundry. But the best part of it, what really, Patrick, sealed it, is that the deck, when you walked out on the deck, you were directly across from the Belle of Louisville.
Oh, there's nothing better.
So, I mean, you can't get any closer other than crossing the street and going over there to it. So
that's great.
Had a great, great view of the Belle. So
that's fantastic.
Fantastic accommodations there at the Galt House, as always. So good beverages at night. Bob and I visited the bar a couple nights after we got back for a nightcap. We enjoyed our breakfasts. Folks, if you're going to Louisville, you have to stay at the Galt House.
Amen. Amen. It is
the place. That was another draw for me to go to Bourbon and Beyond, knowing that I could stay at the Galt House. Yep. Was made that a very pleasant trip, for sure.
Billy did advise us, and I saw that there was the Tan Express store convention was happening there. So all their managers, so there was a lot of spray tan happening. And I imagine the cleanup after that, cleaning those rooms might have taken a little bit longer.
Yeah, it takes a little bit. You have to wash the sheets a couple times before you get that out.
They encounter spray tan in the lobby. I saw when I was looking at the lineup, one of the things that intrigued me was this Friday lineup at 1:25. So early in the day, I don't know if anybody caught this set, but His Golden Messenger is one of my favorite singers from North Carolina. Did anybody catch his set?
Yeah, Keith and I saw that.
Great.
And I had never seen him, and he was great, Patrick. That he put on a great set. It was short, but really, really good.
Yeah. I love MC Taylor. He's a really fantastic American singer-songwriter.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. I've only seen them once. You know, MC Taylor is sort of His Golden Messenger, so I always refer to it as just it's him, but I mean, yeah, he does have a band, but he was great. But again, that early slot, you know, it's a pretty short set.
So what about Friday for you, Coop? Anybody stuck in your mind or any performances that were notable?
Well, the headliner that night was Dave Matthews Band. Like I said, I was a big Dave Matthews Band when I was supposed to be in the late 90s, early 2000s. So it was good. I hadn't seen him in 20 years. So good seeing him again. It was a little strange. Like, there was probably a minute of downtime in between songs.
Is that right? Wow.
Like, they were just trying to figure out what to play next. And so it never really felt like they got in a groove, but it was good seeing them again.
Even when they got on stage, I was like, well, here they are. But the house lights weren't on. You couldn't see anything. And you know they're on stage. And they probably waited 5 minutes and then kicked it off with Ants Marching. And they played a 17-minute version of that song.
Wow.
We have to mention about Friday's lineup. Molly Tuttle was phenomenal. She and her band were great. I was aware of her a little bit, but man, I was really impressed with her set.
Molly Tuttle and Golden Highway, according to the bill. That's great.
So 2 years ago, Bourbon and Beyond, Mike Coley and I saw them play in the Bourbon tent or at the Bluegrass.
Oh, wow.
It was actually Coley's birthday that day. We were enjoying some bourbon drinks, and was a great set then. And it's good to see her on, you know, the big stage. And they were great. We actually met the banjo player Kyle Tuttle, no relation to Molly, but he kind of came out, was in the crowd, and he has green hair, so you can't mistake him for anybody else.
Drifting through the forest of my mind. Back before the war, we waged with the plow. crosscut saw and the dynamite. These hills ain't what they used to be. The wolves don't howl here anymore. The rivers have been dammed and they blew the mountains in. I can't recall what was here before. Still we're wanting more. Wind blows and the pond rolls the pines like a song when I close my eyes. Memories go drifting by and I'm gone into the wild.
I do want to say one band that I saw on the backstages on Friday, who really probably deserved to play on the one of the main stages, is the Red Clay Strays.
And, Red Clay Strays, okay.
Yeah, so they're from Mobile, Alabama, kind of good Southern rock Americana band. I saw them this summer, and Mary did too, at a club here in Grand Rapids, and was sold out, and just... I knew like this band was a band that is going to play bigger venue next time they come through. And the same thing at the fest. So there's an app that they use for Bourbon and Beyond, and you can sort of put your schedule together. And the number of people that checked that they were going to see the Red Clay Strays was equivalent of like the evening's headliners. So they played that backstage. I got there two sets before them to see, I like a singer-songwriter named Wyatt Flores. And he played there. So I got a good spot there to watch him. I sort of straddled the two stages back there. So I watched him, then Matt Carney, and then Red Clay Stray. So I didn't really see the sea of people because I was up pretty close. I didn't, the sea of people getting out of there afterwards was, it was crazy. So they're a great, great Southern rock band. And I really, again, feel like they're going places, and I wouldn't be shocked to see them back next year playing on one of the main stages. Excuse me. One other band that we saw that day was JJ Gray and Mofro. And actually, on that Friday, of all the bands I saw, that was the only band I saw that I had never seen before. Everybody else I had seen before they saw, but they were really great. And for some reason, Billy Joel is now playing saxophone in that band. I don't know, but I said to these guys, I think that Billy Joel's play, and like he had the same demeanor. He was a shorter guy, looked just like him. So I don't know. One other note on Friday was Bruce Hornsby and the Noisemakers. We saw them. Bruce's voice is shot. So
is it really? That's too bad.
Piano playing is still great, but his voice, unfortunately, is a little bit shot. But
yeah, and I was looking at the video screen. He needs to see a dermatologist.
This is true. Bob diagnosed him with three different things while we were there.
All right, great. Well, now let's talk about Saturday, the meat of the weekend. Probably the crowd's increasing, I'm sure, on Saturday. Let me start with a question. I had never heard of the artist Cody Jinks, who's actually looks like headlining on the Barrel stage. Is that right? Can anyone tell me if they saw him or what the deal is?
We saw him. We didn't go to his stage. We were in position to see Zach Bryan, but he was up. Right. He was before Zach Bryan. So
he was good.
He was good. I mean, I didn't know any of his music beforehand. I don't know if I'll go back and revisit to listen to it, but it was entertaining. So
Okay. Yeah.
I think of all the days, I feel like Saturday was the weakest. Lineup. So, and I don't know if, I think it was very country oriented.
Yeah, definitely looks like it.
And I kind of wonder if they blew the budget on Zach Bryan and then had to sort of figure it out, the plug and play the rest of the day. Because, you know, Zach Bryan's playing football stadiums and selling out
While you all were up camping out for Zach Bryan, we were at the backstages having a blast.
Soul Asylum.
I turned Bob Peters, turned Bob on to Amigo the Devil.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, said it was a big surprise because I like Keith said, well, that's kind of a weak lineup. And I stayed on the backstages and there were like five or six artists in a row that were fantastic. You know, some number one, it was great because on one hand, I was nostalgic and got to see some bands I hadn't seen in 20 years and fell in love with them again. That was Sunvolt and Soul Asylum.
Right.
But I got to learn about new artists I've never seen before, like Amigo the Devil. I think I sent you a clip on your show, Patrick.
That's right. Guy,
to me, he's like as dark as Tom Waits, but he's a lot funnier and he plays a banjo. I was captivated by his show. But Soul Asylum, I kind of was primed for this because I know they have a new album coming out that sounds really good. But I rode the rail at Soul Asylum and Coop's friend Sean was up there with me. He's a Soul Asylum fan. And, oh, God, we had a lot of fun. And Dave Perner was as good as I remember back in 1988 when I used to be in mosh pits. And luckily there was no mosh pit. But Soul Asylum was great. Sunvolt sounded really good. And I just had a blast at the backstages.
Yeah, another band we rolled in on was Royal Otis.
Oh, okay.
Australian band. And we thoroughly enjoyed them. Bob and I watched that set together, most of it.
Yeah. Have you checked out their new album, Billy?
No, I haven't had an opportunity to. I was at a metal festival all weekend.
Yeah, that was another band I got to discover. Yeah, so that day was just full of surprises.
Yeah, and I'm noting here, folks, if you're listening, Royal, R-O-Y-E-L, Otis. So
yeah. Maybe
that's how they spell it down in Australia if you're going to look those guys up. It looks great. Yeah, Young the Giant, Alan Stone, Meg Myers, Wild River, Samantha Fish, Amigo the Devil. What was the song about? Murder at the Bingo Hall, great and incredible tune. And Theo Lawrence as well played on the Yonder and Beyonder stages, I guess they're calling them.
I got to mention, I left probably like at 7 o'clock and skipped the headliners so I could rest up. I went to one of the Bourbon and Beyond after party concerts. It was at a venue in Louisville called Headliners. You know, Adam and Billy said I'd like it. And I met a local at the drink bar who said, yeah, I had to go to Headliners because there was a local band. It was like Ken Denson and the Tiny Universe. They said that Neil Francis and Samantha Fish were going to sit in with this band. So I said, I'll take a flyer on that and Ubered out to Headliners and saw this really late show. I was out to like almost 3 a.m.
Good Lord.
But it was really worth it. This was a great like R&B funk band. And yeah, Neil Francis played 3 songs with them. Samantha Fish, who's a phenomenal guitarist, joined him for a song. And she was actually standing next to me. But I did not go fanboy. I did not pick out myself in the picture. I just kind of let her be. But I had as much fun at Headliners as I did the rest of the show. I think that's where all the Louisville freaks go. I think everybody knew each other and they were hugging. And I've never been to a show where everybody's dancing, not just like in place. I mean, you're out like dancing. So it was a lot of fun. And, you know, you could let your freak flag fly there and really have a blast. So if you're ever in Louisville, go to a show at Headliners.
We really neglected to mention something else that happened on Saturday, Bob. I just realized that why you were so tired at 7 o'clock at night. Bob and I ran the inaugural Bourbon and Beyond 5K on Saturday morning.
You did not. Stop it.
We did. Yes.
Stop it.
We did. So.
Yeah, they had bourbon at the water stations.
That's too great.
I had asked Bob ahead of time, I said, you're going to do this 5K. I know he's a runner. I'm an occasional runner. And so he said, yeah, all right, fine. I'm going to do it. I don't know what I was thinking, but we did it. We finished. And I'm going to say, Bob finished second in his age bracket. He walked away with a trophy. So,
wow.
Yeah. That's the transfusions are working.
That's with a Keith Richards blood in me. It's great.
And we met the producer of the festival, Danny Wimmer, because he ran in the race. So we got snapped a quick picture with him, and he thanked us for coming. I think we were probably, besides Danny Wimmer, I think was there and his team, but I think most of the other people that were there were not actually going to the festival. They were also Louisville locals. We're the only two crazy ones that were doing 4 days of a fest and running a 5K right in the middle of it.
That's great.
Yeah.
I applaud them for holding such an event. That's amazing.
And the other interesting thing about that 5K was it took you right through the Kentucky Kingdom amusement park that's there to the fairgrounds. So yeah,
that's very cool.
Yes. So
now, Mary, you arrived on Saturday. Is that right?
Yes.
What was the highlight of the first day of the fest for you?
Well, we did end up standing for 7 hours to get a nice spot for Zach Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
So a highlight, I guess one of the things I do like about concerts is when you form a camaraderie with the people around you. And so we met Donald from West Virginia, yeah, and we had a great time with him.
Great.
And
Donald had smuggled in some bourbon. I guess this is sold on Amazon, and I'm not endorsing this.
Yes.
But yeah, you can buy it suntan lotion. It's in like a suntan lotion thing. It looks like it has the seal and everything on it.
That's great.
Pouring bourbon right out of his suntan lotion.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't condone it. Danny Wimmer's listening. I don't crack down on those suntan containers next year. But
also about 4 hours in, a girl tried to cut in front of us. And I had had a couple beers and I just wasn't having it.
No, so you can't have it.
We had a tussle.
Yeah. Mary almost got into a fight that I was going to have to.
You would have done.
I was going to run away
from. Yeah, I was gonna say.
So Mary, she doesn't drink very much. Anyway, she has something that Ryan Adams and Huey Lewis also have, and alcohol is a trigger for that. And I don't mean being an asshole like Ryan Adams. So. So she doesn't normally drink. So, and by the way, two beers of bourbon and beyond, besides being $50, is really, they're 20 ounce pours. So that's like really three and a half beers. So, we were joking that two beer Mary almost got in a fight, you know.
But it was more like three beers.
It was three and a half beer Mary.
And then there were two freshman girls in high school, tiny little girls, and they had on their cowboy boots. The only thing about this generation is the whole time Zach Bryan was on, they videotaped themselves watching Zach Bryan instead of being in the moment. And so, you know, I'm sure we don't have that age group as your listeners.
No.
We're not losing any of them.
No.
But I would love if they put their phone down and just enjoyed it and had a good time.
I will say about Zach Bryan, this was my second time seeing him this summer because I took my daughter to a different fest in Columbus. And he needs to work on his stage presence. It's basically the same show all the time, the same sort of comments that he makes. And I think he'd be a little more personable. But he's an amazing songwriter. He really is. He probably writes too much, though. Like he could cut back on that a little bit, too. So
one thing I was going to mention was for those of us that have been to a lot of festivals, Saturday really didn't feel that much like a festival crowd out and about. A lot of people there to see Zach Bryan. So it had a little bit different feel than a normal festival to me.
Yeah, there was about 5,000 Haktua girls walking around.
He's not wrong.
How did you guys feel on Sunday morning? Was it Sunday morning coming down, or what was the general consensus like?
Sunday was I was excited about Sunday, so I was looking forward to Sunday all week, not because the end of it, but I was ready to go.
Sunday for me was the top day, just like Billy said. I think for most of us, I mean, we all said Beck was our favorite, but as far as quality, I think Sunday was the best. But we had to make sure we got an early start because Neil Francis was at 12:55. And he's great. So
He was like I said, he was out in the bar till 2 or 3 playing the night before.
Wow.
And I don't think he slept. He you know, I told Keith, you know, you watch him and you're like, he actually makes you want to maybe do drugs because he's just too cool.
I'm moving to a mid apartment. She took all my things and left our place in flames.
day. As hard as I tried to keep the old place, in the end she wouldn't let me stay. When I look back at the picture, it's clear to be seen that everything would end this way. As much as it hurts, it remains to this day that I love her, and that stays just the same.
And Patrick, as a musician, I saw something I never saw before. His piano has a whammy bar.
No way.
His keyboard had a tremolo arm on it. It was awesome.
I have never seen that either. That's incredible.
Sadly, I think, you know, I wish he would have played a little bit later so more people could be introduced to him, because I think he won over the crowd that, you know, was there. So
yeah, yeah, absolutely. I noticed here there's a segue that looks like it could have come from the Red Hot and Brew radio show on the Barrel stage. The Bacon Brothers, Sunny Day Real Estate, the Beach Boys, and War on Drugs. That's a very eclectic lineup.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, Kevin Bacon sang Footloose.
Did he really?
Yeah, they put out a good show.
I've seen them, and they're very entertaining.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick, I got to say that when I saw this lineup, I remember the first time I saw the Beach Boys on there, I laughed. But then I decided I was going to go all in on the Beach Boys. I wore my sailor cap, my yacht hat, and I rode the rail for the Beach Boys. And I got to tell you, it was a lot of fun.
That's
they
great.
Played all their, you know, obviously all their songs are recognizable. There's only Mike Love in the band, who everybody hates.
Right.
But the band was tight. Whoever the guitarist was that was singing, you know, the high parts, the Brian Wilson parts, you know, the Al Jardine parts, he was freaking good. Oh, I mean, his voice sounded great, and they sounded great. So I was up there dancing and having fun. I said, well, I'm going to go full boomer on this and act like pleasantly surprised how much I enjoyed that.
Was that when you started hanging out with the gypsies?
Billy befriended these gypsies, and they were literally gypsies. We got a picture with these guys, and then I sent the picture to my wife, and I said, I think I may have joined the cult.
Well, I said, Bob, let's go take a picture with these gypsies over here. And he goes, okay, you stand next to them and I'll kind of get them behind you. I'm like, no, let's take a picture with the gypsies. So the next picture, the pictures we have are like, you know, in an arm to arm with them. And Bob goes, in Bob fashion, he goes, hey guys, I'm from Milwaukee. Where are you from? And it was just like stone cold silence.
Everywhere.
And I think one of them said, we're not from anywhere, man.
I actually saw on the Bourbon and Beyond Facebook group somebody asking if they knew who this guy was, and it was the guy.
Oh, no. He's won it in 48 states.
I don't know.
I got to ask Coop and Billy, my morning jacket was the Sunday night headliner. Well, not quite total headliner, but they played near 8 o'clock on the Barrel stage. I guess Tyler Childers was the only other act after that on the big stages. What was your impression of MMJ?
Well, the first problem was Dino Jr.'s on a backstage.
Oh no.
9:20.
Oh no.
And I'd never seen him before, but I really want to catch my morning jacket, my local boys. And yeah, our local boys. And I Adam had never seen My Morning Jacket or Dino Jr., I don't think. So it was one of those times where it was like, this is a pressure cooker. We need to get.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, we had, I think we had two false exits. Like, oh, we got to go. Let's go catch My Morning Jacket. And then they break in to Feel the Pain or oh God, I forget the names of the songs, but it's like, oh, we got to hear this one. So we stayed for one more song. And then we ran over and we just caught the tail end of the first song we started out with, which is One Big Holiday.
One Big Holiday, yeah.
God, when you start out with that, I mean, you mean business. My Morning Jacket, that was another highlight. What did you think, Coop?
I loved it. So this has been a point of contention with Billy and me. Like our friendship was
almost compromised.
Yeah, our friendship was in question because I am not that big of a My Morning Jacket fan.
Oh, okay.
But seeing them live, it really changed things for me. It's like it snapped into place for me. I got it. They're kind of a jam band.
Yeah. Is that your first time seeing them?
This was my first time seeing My Morning Jacket.
Wow.
I was going to say it was my eighth. And the first time I saw them was in Jillian's parking lot. And they opened up for Bob Dylan in like 2004 or something. Whoa. So, yeah, it's a long time ago. But go ahead, Adam. Sorry.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I will be joining Billy at all future My Morning Jacket
shows. Outstanding.
So I just want to say, and I know you're going to ask us for our favorite moment that's coming up, but I'm not going to spoil that for me, but I'm just going to say the run on that Sunday for me on the two main stages, it went from Mount Joy, who was a band that I knew like their hit. I think a couple songs that maybe are, you know, played on the XM or, you know, if you can call it a hit, but yeah. They were really great, really great. Like I would go see them again if they came around here. Bob and I actually almost saw them this summer at Surly Brewing up in Minneapolis when I was there in St. Paul for business, but we didn't pull the trigger on those $100 tickets. Now I'm sad we didn't because they were great. So it went Mount Joy, then the War on Drugs, then the National,
yep,
then My Morning Jacket, then Tyler Childer. This was back to back to back to back to back. So I'm going to point out when the War on Drugs was upcoming. Now they were conflicting against the band Future Birds, which I know Bob is a fan, and I like them too. And sadly it was one of those Sophie's choices. So I decided to see the War on Drugs. Billy and Adam both told me that the War on Drugs puts them to sleep. So
hello.
And the National. So they were like, no, we're not going to go to that. And Mary can correct me if I'm wrong. I know she already called him out for the man falling asleep, but I believe it was during the War on Drugs that Billy did actually fall asleep.
Yes. I said, I'm going to take a nap in the grass. And I did.
I feel like you had like a little out-of-body experience during the War on Drugs.
I did, but I'm saving that for my favorite moment.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So, Keith, what is the lead singer's name for the War on Drugs?
Oh, wow.
But anyways, you know, I love the War on Drugs. But, yeah, I chose to go to the Future Birds just because they got the new album out. And but when I did get to see half of War on Drugs set, and I got to say their lead singer, he kind of sings like Dylan. But his stage banter in between, he had me laughing. He sounds like Bobcat Goldthwait. You know, the songs, you know, he's pretty like subdued in the songs. But when he's talking, he's like screaming and kind of manic in between. It's like you're really questioning his stability. And honestly, he sounded just like Bobcat. Yeah. Had me laughing. Adam, but yeah, that was
Adam Grand Lucille, I think.
That's it. Yep.
That. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of him sounding like Bobcat Goldthwait, when we go back to Dave Matthews, he sounds exactly like Adam Sandler as Cajun Man, by the way. Oh, talking in between songs, I mean, they're twins. So
yeah, I told Adam, I said, I think he's been hanging out with Adam Sandler too much. It's rubbing off on
him. Mary, what was your impression of the National?
Well, I like the National. I've already seen him before.
Oh, okay.
And it was kind of nice because it was the only time that Keith and I think we're out there by ourselves, just having a good time. Oh, I know. However, around us, there were not a lot of National fans.
Oh, boy.
We were kind of...
It was because Tyler Childers would be playing on that stage shortly after, so people were camping out. So, yeah. They were confused by Matt Berninger.
I would imagine.
They were confused by him. So,
yes.
Yeah.
But he has an amazing stage presence. He comes out in the crowd. It's just a good time.
Yeah.
That's cool. I did see when he came out and serenaded the cameraman and started fondling his head. It's kind of funny.
That's great.
I did catch a couple of songs of the National. I like the National a lot, but I still stand by they do tend to put me to sleep a little bit.
How can you fall asleep to Mr. November? Come on. Oh.
That was an incredible back to back to back. You know, those five bands in a row
were
amazing on the Barrel and Oak stage.
And I will just, you know, interject here. I think if there is a problem with, you know, the backstage is bleeding into the main stages or vice versa, don't put Dinosaur Jr. back there because they play really loud. Jay Meskis has like 15 Marshall stacks.
The other thing is, I think I told Adam this past week, and if you're worried about bleed over, just get closer to the stage that you want to listen to.
Yeah.
If you're standing in the back, if you're, you know, it's standing where the sound's going to cross, you're going to get the bleed over. Just get closer.
Also, I think that was one mistake putting Dinosaur Jr. on Bourbon and Beyond. I think they would have fit better into the Louder Than Life the following weekend.
Probably, yeah.
A couple of bands like that. Amigo probably does better at a metal festival.
Sunny Day Real Estate.
Yeah, Sunny Day Real Estate.
They
were terrific, by the way. That was a Sunday band.
One band that we saw on Sunday on one of the backstages earlier in the day was Mack Saturn. They're from Detroit. And they were great. That front man, I don't know his name, but he is a very energetic fellow as well. So,
and he's cool. as dreamy as Neil Francis.
Yes.
And then, fellas.
One other thing, I screwed up on the set times, but I did get to see Tommy Prine, son of John Prine. He played on one of the backstages.
Got nice. I didn't know that. Oh, wow.
Couple songs, he has a couple songs about his father, but I have to admit that I might have shed a little tear or two hearing him sing that. So,
that's beautiful. All right, well, fantastic. I mean, I guess I would be remiss, and we're gonna ask everybody for their highlight and one thing they might, you know, have the festival do differently. I would be remiss without asking, how was the bourbon that you drank during the 4 days?
I can tell you the beer was cold and expensive.
It always is.
Yeah, I probably drank more old fashions in that weekend than I had in a year, and it was totally worth it. It was good.
Mary did buy a bourbon. She got it for Donald from West Virginia, our friend that we got, but he offered her $50 for it. So we had to go because it was very crowded, you know, to go out and get it. So we didn't take his money. And then he bought me a beer later.
Oh, and actually, nice.
It turns out I think the beer was more expensive than the bourbon. So we made out in that case. So, yeah. Yeah.
So I think this is the first year we actually made our way to the culinary arts and bourbon stage.
Right.
Because Jim Gaffigan was pushing his. I don't know if it's a partnership or his own bourbon. We went back there for a bunch of jokes, and it was entertaining. But he was slinging drinks.
So, that's cool. Well, Bob, do you mind if we start with you? What was your highlight of the fest, and what's one thing you might like to see done differently?
Well, the highlight was Beck.
Okay.
It was just the music, like I had spoken with, and the visual performance. But I think, you know, I couldn't. That's the only act that really stood out. I mean, everything was great. I mean, I can honestly say that everything was great. But what made it better was, and this sounds really sappy, but just being with such great people. You know, this group here, getting to know Adam and Billy, they were fantastic hosts. Got to know Keith and his great family. That was the highlight for me, was just that, enjoying good music with great people by far away. That, so I can say, I mean, honestly, you couldn't go wrong with any of the acts you went to. I mean, yeah, you might miss some because there's so many great acts around, but yeah, the whole thing was great and totally worth the money. In terms of things that could be better, and I'm sure they're going to recommend, like I said, around the time of the headliners, there were more people congested in front of two stages that were side by side. And there was no easy passageway to get through the crowds from one stage to the, you know, like the staging area where the tents were, where the food was, where the bathrooms were. You couldn't get through because there just was not enough room. So that's the only thing, is they just need kind of like a passageway for people to exit the VIP area so they're not going through a crowd. I hate it when people walk in front of me to go to the bathroom. So that's the only thing, is they just need to find a better throughput through the crowds.
Okay.
Other than that, I mean, I'd have to say that despite a lot of people whining on Facebook, I'd say everybody in the crowd were really hospitable. I'm kind of a misanthrope when I'm in crowds, and that never came out, or rarely came out.
Keith, why don't we go to you? What was your highlight, and what would you do a little differently?
Well, the highlight, I mean, just to go off what Bob says, just getting to spend time, you know, with everybody that's on here for the weekend, of course. That's, that's the highlight. But my highlight that I'm going to highlight, I wasn't hanging out with anybody that is on this podcast. as I mentioned, the war on drugs, nobody wanted to go see them. So I was over there, up pretty close. And we mentioned it rained a little on Sunday. Well, they kept flashing on the video screen that there could be inclement weather incoming. Stay tuned for more details. But the band was still playing. But I didn't know it was coming. And then it really started to pick up on the amount of rain that was going there. And they started playing their song Under Pressure. And that's one of their popular songs. It's a great song. And then the gentleman that was next to me proceeds to pass me a joint if I want to take a hit from it. And I mean, you're watching the war on drugs. Under Pressure is playing. You take a hit. And I took the hit. In the rain, it was amazing. That's a highlight that I love spending time with my wife and my daughter and these guys and Nicole, who's off camera, but she's there. I know she's listening.
Well, tell them about the $150 you spent on euros and pizza after that.
Oh, yeah. That's true. No.
Well, if I may interject on that one.
Absolutely.
I'm sitting back at the table and Adam says, how does Keith do with marijuana? And I was like, that's a weird question. Fine. Yeah. And then you came
He's
back
not against it.
I don't know if I was smiley from, I mean, to be honest, it was a very small, like, it was the roach, you know, I mean, it was the end of
but you were like, get a beer.
Yeah, but I was fired up because it was such a good set that just, in all the moment, it just made me really, I was really happy.
That's like, a rock and roll moment right there. You can't make that up.
No, so that was my highlight. So the thing that I think they could improve, you know, I would say what Bob said, they need to really figure out the traffic getting out of from one stage to the other. You know, like sadly when Tedeschi Trucks played, I knew like it was going to be a cluster to get out of there. So I exited a couple songs early to go find the rest of the group to watch Dave Matthews. So, you know, those type of things, I think they could work to improve that. And then, man, the scheduling, I think they just had some really cruel overlaps, like we talked about before. And I think if they could just do a little better job with that. And that's a tough job. I mean, they book a lot of great bands, but like I had to miss out on Black Pumas. I know Bob saw Black Pumas, but in order to see Red Clay Strays, I had to skip out on Black Pumas. So, and I missed Sunvolt because that was during Sierra Ferrell. So, you know, those were just some tough ones that I would have loved to have seen those bands. And unfortunately, I didn't get to see. One of my favorite artists is Josh Ritter, and he played on Saturday early afternoon.
Yeah, I saw that.
But I had to wait for Mary and my daughter to get there, so which was the right thing to do, but it sadly, like, just the way it worked out.
Fair enough. What about you, Mary? Was there a highlight, particular one for you?
My highlight was Tyler Childers. I'm not a huge country fan, but he was surprising that he was as talented as he was. Wow. He really engaged the crowd. He played several instruments.
His stage setup's really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that, and just enjoying being with my family and meeting you guys that Keith has talked about for so long, and just the shared community, it just was a really special experience.
So I'm going to tell you this.
Yeah.
Mary's going to attend Suburbs Fest 2025. Uh-oh. I mean,
well, now we won't have any kids at home. So,
and it's also in your hometown.
Suburbs Fest. You said meant Bourbon and Beyond.
Oh, you'll probably go to that too next year too. Yeah.
Yes.
Suburbs Fest. Yeah. Grand Rapids. So,
I don't have much for improvement. We have gone to Lollapalooza several years in a row, never VIP though, but I thought this was like 1,000 times better than that.
Interesting point.
Easier to manage. Lollapalooza is so spread out. This was just a lot easier to run over and see a band if you wanted to.
I think the difference is that the people that are at Bourbon and Beyond are really a lot of music lovers that are there. I think at Lollapalooza, they're there to be
get
seen.
Get drunk. And,
And so I think that it's a lot of music lovers. But back to what I think Adam was the one brought it up on Saturday, it was not really the festival crowd. It was more Zach Bryan. That would be the only day it wasn't kind of late. But I just feel like you got a lot of music lovers there. So.
Yep.
That's a great point. Billy, how about you? What was your highlight? And of course, you with a lot of experience going to all these Louisville Fests, be interesting to hear what you have to say improvement wise.
Yeah. I'd be remiss if I didn't say, like, I just like hanging out with everybody and seeing, I mean, Keith and Bob and Adam and I, and even Coley were on a text message thread ever since the festival. And it's like we talk every day. So when we get to all see each other, it's nice.
Was my heart proud.
it means a lot to us too. And I can probably speak for Adam a little bit because it is our hometown and we get to show it off a little bit. But you know, I think the last couple of years we've done this recap afterwards and I always say, why doesn't my morning jacket come? They should put them on the bill because they're the hometown guys. And it was something special to see them on stage and hopefully, you know, kind of spread the gospel of them and make sure that other people hear them that maybe hadn't had an opportunity to. So that's always a good time. And then, you know, I don't have any complaints. Like I said, they made so many advancements of just the space. It is an awkward space. You know, like you mentioned, it's right next to the airport. It's next to a giant fairground facility, an exhibition center. But they're making the best with it. You know, I think that they were in danger before COVID, before they moved the venue of really going out of business. I don't think if they would have had another, you know, unsuccessful attempt at it, they would have probably lost it altogether. So we understand that from being from here, but I don't think a lot of people do. When they see the venue, they're like, oh, this is awkward, and it's a big space, and it's just in it's not really centralized to anything. I guess you're close to the airport, so if you flow in, you can get right there. There's not many hotels there. They're all downtown. Yeah. But no real complaints. And that is a real the only, you know, the thing that they're mentioning is when they have the two main stages, the VIP, and here we are, you know, complaining like, oh, when I'm in the VIP and I have trouble seeing the band. It's when they're running the stage on the right, and there's no outlet for the VIP, if you're in the VIP, to get back to where you need to get. But there is a thoroughfare, like an emergency thoroughfare between the VIP where it backs up to, and then where the general population, there's like a walkway. And I think the simple solution would just to put some security guards there and let people exit back to the, it helped, but all the way back to the back of the festival grounds would be a good compromise. But maybe Danny Wilmer will hear this, and I think Adam did a survey, and he can mention that would be a little bit helpful. Last year, I think, is when we got stuck. We finished Blondie, and Bruno was going on to headline the show to the on the main stage to the left, and you just couldn't get out. So either you're stuck there watching the whole set until it really eases up, or you can fight your way through, which is not a good option either. So
That's a great point. Great observation. And totally put in context from both sides. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Really does. Well said. Coop, how about you? You want to finish us up and take us home?
Yeah. So Nicole's highlight of the weekend was Beck. And nice. It was phenomenal. Could not have handpicked a set list better. And also, we were really close. We were super close to the stage, so that was great. But also Saturday afternoon, the 3-band run of Amigo the Devil into Sunvolt into Soul Asylum. That was just, it was my second time seeing Amigo the Devil, but first time seeing Sunvolt or Soul Asylum.
And wow.
All three sets were great, and they were just back to back to back. So really enjoyed that. And then the thing that I think they should do different, I think fewer bands.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. So here's the deal. If there's fewer bands, then the bands can play longer. The average set this weekend was 30 minutes.
Wow.
And that's just not enough time.
No. Right.
So, and, you know, I think just a fewer bands and have some longer set times for the bands that are there would be a better musical experience for me. Granted, that cuts down on some of the variety, and cuts down on the amount of artists you can see. But hey, Keith, there could be less overlap that way, possibly.
You're right. No, I mean, you're right with that. So
that's a great point. Less sometimes is more. Even and there are a lot of bands when you look at this schedule and you just scroll through it. You know, and like, here's the list. That's a ton of music. It really is. So that's a great observation too.
I think what JJ Gray joked, this is the shortest set we've done in decades or something.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Two songs.
Well, I think this year they did more of after shows. I don't think they did as great a job of advertising that, but I wonder if they could do more after shows and give some of those bigger artists a longer set. Like, I think Mount Joy played a bar around. I mean, so again, cool. It'd be like super small venues that these guys would play, but maybe they could book a little more of them too for some sets like that. So,
yeah, that's a good point. Or especially for those like Bob Peterson, who can watch 8 hours of music, then go to another show until 3 a.m. and then run a 5K.
Well, very close by, they have a 20,000 seat old basketball arena called Freedom Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Which you can, it's just essentially across the parking lot. And then there's one right behind it, which is a smaller venue, but it probably seats about 6,000 or 7,000. It's Broadbent. So you have some kind of built-in spaces there if you really wanted to do something with that.
This has been wonderful. Thank you, guys. We almost got it to an hour. Hey, you know, came close. But I want to thank everybody. Keith, thank you so much for setting up the meeting. Mary, thank you so much for participating. It's lovely to meet you on Zoom, and glad you had a good time. And I'm glad the offspring had a good time too. You guys are great parents for doing that for them. That's amazing.
I think she was more tired though than we were after.
That's never a good sign for the kids. Dr. Bob, thank you so much for doing it. And Bob, was this your first time going to Birmingham Beyond?
Yeah, that was the first time.
That's great. That's great.
And I'm glad we could record this during the Brewers' implosion in the first game of the playoffs. It kept me in a better mood. Thank you.
I was hoping nobody would mention it, but yes, they went down, unfortunately. Coop, thank you so much. Nicole, thank you very much. And I'm glad that you guys were there together. It just made me so happy to see it happening, and that somebody's out there always carrying the rock and roll flag for Suburb Spot. So,
you know, I said it before, but I seriously, all the listeners, you really should think about going next year. So
yeah,
I know. As soon as the tickets go on sale, I'm buying my ticket, so I'll be there. So.
It's just a great eclectic festival. I'm so glad you guys all had fun and everybody survived and had a great time. So, thank you all for your information and fun contributions to this podcast.
Thank you, Patrick.
Absolutely. Thank you, Keith. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Billy. Thank you, Coop. With that, we will sign off for this week. And we have something special coming at you guys next week in the form of a trivia week. So get ready for that on Rockin' the Suburbs. And we will talk to you guys then. Trash to the garbage around you.
Watching the war on drugs. Under Pressure is playing. You take a hit, and I took the hit.